Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, precious saints of God. How are you doing today? I hope you're doing well. As for me, overjoyed. I was in St. Johnsville today, going from home to home, putting an advertisement in every mailbox, and letting people know that they can come to church to pray from 12 to 1. We were inviting them to the golden hour of prayer. And we did about 400 homes. I have about maybe 100 more flyers to go. And those I will distribute tomorrow, Wednesday. So you continue to pray for me as I go from door to door. And pray for those homes. Pray that God will touch people's lives. Pray. Pray. I met some people who were walking. I met quite a number of elderly people who were walking, getting their exercise in this morning. I was able to give them a flyer in their hand and then talk to them about what we're doing at Grace Church, so that was nice. I only met one couple who said, no, thank you, we're not interested. Keep crazy to yourself. That's basically what they told me, but that's okay, because I prayed for them. I said, Lord, bless them. Open their eyes, open their hearts. If someone in the church has done them wrong, Lord, don't let that reflect badly on our Savior. So I just prayed. And I will make it a point to pray for that couple every day. We are in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. And it reads, call unto me. Oh, I love that. Here is God. Here is God. Most loving, most caring, most powerful, most busy. Boy, he's busy. God is so busy. And yet he says to you and to me, call me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things which you do not know. Let's pray. Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, we call on you right now. We call on you, O God, that you may water the seeds that were planted today, approximately 400 seeds, 400 homes, 400 mailboxes, 400 families will reach today with an advertisement to come to the house of prayer to call on you. Lord, touch lives today. Touch lives. Water the seed that was sown this morning. I call on you to do so, Lord. And I know that when we call on you, you answer. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Bless our efforts. Bless our efforts, Lord. Bless us, we pray. Bless your church. Enlarge your church. Add to the church daily such as should be saved. We call on you to do so. We call on you in faith, believing that those that come to God must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Bless us, Lord. Amen and amen. We considered the portion of the text which reads, call unto me. God is encouraging Jeremiah in the text to summons him. God is soliciting you, phoning him. You crying out to him, you and I. He said it to Jeremiah, but in essence, he says it to all his children. Call unto me. Call my name. And he says, when you call unto me, what does he say? And I will answer thee. And notice, he calls, and he will what? He will answer. That word answer is a Hebrew verb that is most interesting. Most interesting. I remember every Father's Day years ago, when my father was alive, I would be here in the States and he would be on the island. And I would call home. I would call to the old homestead. And my stepmother would pick up the phone, or one of my brothers or sisters used to pick up the phone, and I would greet them, and I would say, where's Papa? Oh, Papa got up this morning, and all he's been doing is he's been saying, Michael's going to call me. My boy's going to call me. That's all he's been talking about this morning. We made him breakfast. We gave him his gifts. But all he keeps talking about is he's waiting for your call. And so if it was my stepmother or one of my brothers and sisters, they would say, Miguel, Michael is on the phone. And boy, he would come on and he would answer. Call unto me and I will answer thee. The answer was an answer of excitement. We would talk for about 5 minutes. He would ask how I was doing, and I would ask how he was doing, and what was he up to, and how he wished I was there on the homestead with him, with doing the cattle drives, and and we would reminisce. And then I would tell him how much I love him. And he would tell me how much he loved me. And I would tell him how I wished him a happy Father's Day, and he would wish me a happy Father's Day. Call unto me, and I will answer. This has to do with relationship. How's your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Is he anticipating your call? Oh, he most certainly is. Every day for God the Father is Father's Day. Sadly, many of his children don't call him. Sadly. I'm sure that must grieve the Lord not to hear from his beloved children. You know, Paul says that the Holy Spirit within us causes us to cry, Abba, Father. Abba is daddy. Listen, daddy says to call him. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. I will answer thee. I don't know what it is not to have a good relationship with my parents. I had a wonderful relationship with my parents. I know that some of my brothers and sisters in Christ, for many different reasons, don't enjoy wonderful relationship, a good relationship with their parents. Some don't call their mother or father on Father's Day because the relationship is so strained. And they lament the fact that they can't call their father or their mother because the relationship is severely strained. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. It's a love song. It's a love prayer. God yearns to hear from his children. Not only does he yearn to hear from them, but he yearns to answer them. We think God's not interested in us. We think he's too busy. We think he's too involved. We tend to think God could care less about us, but that is not the case. Call unto me and I will, what? I will answer thee. The Hebrew verb to answer. Now, when God calls out to humans, like in the case yesterday, we saw how God called out to Adam. And Adam said, here am I. And when God called out to Samuel, Samuel eventually got it, that it was God who was calling him. He said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. On the human side, all we can do when God calls us is to answer. All we can do is say, I'm here, present. The teacher used to do roll call, had a classroom of about 30 kids, and she would go down the list, and when the teacher called out your name, you would say, present. Roll call. You're answering. You're responding. That's what humans do. But when God says that he will answer, it's more than saying, I'm here. You see, that's all we can do. All we can do is say, I'm present, because we're finite creatures. My father would be in the barn, and he would call out to me, Michael. Say, what, Dad? Bring me that wrench, or bring me the axe, or bring me the pick, or bring me the pitchfork, whatever it was, or bring me the hammer. Bring me the hammer and the bag of nails. He would call, and I would answer. Finite creatures answer by saying, here I am. But there's a contrast. When God says, I will answer, you're talking to the infinite God. And when God says he will answer, it means he will do. Call unto me, and I will do for thee. That's what it means. When the creature cries out to the creator, when I say to God the Father, I'm calling on you, he knows I'm in trouble. He says, what do you need me to do for you? When the creator calls the creature, all the creature can say is, I'm present. Because God, the creator, doesn't cry out to me, the creature, for help. But the creature, when he calls on the creator, he needs help from the creator. So, when God says, call unto me, when God says, invoke my name, name me, I will answer thee. In other words, I will do for thee. I will do for thee. I will do for thee. So to answer is more than to answer or to respond or to reply. When God answers, he answers by deeds. He does something. Now, let me show you from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, the one, I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel 1. Now, here is Hannah, who is to be Samuel's mother. Samuel doesn't exist. All Samuel is in Hannah's mind is an idea. That's all Samuel is. So she turns to God. She calls on God. This is a chapter on prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is a chapter on prayer. Samuel does not exist. His mother Hannah calls on God. And after she calls on God, he answers her by giving her Samuel. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Thus beginneth the reading of God's precious word.
The first book of Samuel. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerome, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her,
Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?
So there's one big family mess. Elkanah has two wives. The Hebrew laws, the Torah, the laws of Moses, the laws of God, allowed Elkanah to have two wives because the first wife, the primary wife, Hannah, was barren. If you had a wife who was barren, you were allowed by the Mosaic law to have a second wife that she may provide you with offspring, with children, with seed. Now, twice we're told that the Lord has shut Hannah's womb. In other words, she was barren because the Lord shut her womb. Now, the good thing is that the Lord did not shut her mouth. Remember last week when we looked at the text, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it? Well, she had a closed womb but not a closed mouth. So in verse 9, look what Hannah does, starting at verse 9.
So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow.
O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.
And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli washed her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk.
How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.
No, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now.
Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him.
You see, verse 17, Eli says, all right, you called on God. May he grant your petition. In other words, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you. To answer means to grant your petition. You see, you call on God, and he does for you. It's not that you call on God, and he picks up the phone and says, hello, how are you doing? It's not that you call on God, and he responds by shooting the breeze with you and saying, let's catch up on what's going on in your life. No. When you call on God, he shows up. To do what? To reverse your bad situation. To break you out of the bondage that you're in, if you're in bondage. To propel you to excellence, if that's what you're shooting for. See, when you call on God, you're calling on his assistance. And he answers you by propelling you, by causing you to triumph. That's what it means to answer. He's not saying, hello, hello, darling. No, absolutely not. So let's continue reading. Verse 18.
Let your maidservant find favor in your sight.
So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass, in the process of time, that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel.
Because I have asked for him from the Lord.
Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband,
not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever.
So Elkanah, her husband, said to her,
Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word.
Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli.
Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here, praying to the Lord. For this child, I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord.
So they worship the Lord there.
Amen. She called on God, and he answered. And the answer came in Samuel, the manifestation of Samuel. God did for her what she requested. That's what the Bible means when God answers. When God answers, he does. Now, let me give you another example right out of the book of Samuel. Let me give you another example. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Now Samuel's all grown up. He's the prophet of the Lord. He's serving the Lord. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9, Samuel is conducting a revival meeting. This is a revival meeting chapter. And it says in 1 Samuel 7, 9, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering unto the Lord entirely. And Samuel cried, or called unto the Lord for Israel. He was interceding on Israel's behalf, the nation's behalf. And the Lord, what? Heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten from before Israel. See, Samuel called on God, and God answered. He didn't say hello. No. How did God answer? He answered by giving Israel the victory over their arch enemies, the Philistines. That's how he answered. That's how God answers. So, my brothers and sisters, I'm calling on God. Me. I'm calling on God for 250 children. I'm calling on God for 250 youth. I'm calling on God for 250 young adults. I'm calling on God for 250 seniors. I'm calling on God for 1,000. 1,000. The Bible says, God invites us. Call unto me, and I will what? I will answer. I will give you what you are requesting. What are you asking God for? Are you calling on God for something? Are you calling on your daddy for something? Is the Holy Spirit leading you to cry out, Abba, Father? Daddy, Daddy, is the Holy Spirit. Well, listen, when you call on Daddy, he answers. He answers by deeds. Answer by giving you a half-hour conversation on the phone and then just doesn't deliver. He answers by delivering. He's a results-oriented God. So he invites you today. What do you need in your life to mark a turning point? You find yourself at the crossroads. You need for God to show up for you. You find yourself like Hannah. You are the underdog. There's no way you're going to win unless you invoke God. And to invoke God is to invite him into your situation and then watch him answer by performing the miracle that you need. I need a miracle at Grace Church. I need 1,000 people. Why 1,000? Well, because as a gospel minister, that's what it's all about, winning souls to Christ. And all we could ever handle, all we can do on one Sunday is 1,000 people. If we could do more, I would ask God for more, but it's physically impossible. Right now, it's just physically impossible. 1,000 is tops. That's it. And that would be a miracle. That would be a major miracle. An unheard of kind of miracle. But he says, call unto me and watch me answer you. Put God to the test. Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in praying. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Let's leave it there. We'll come back tomorrow and continue this series on Jeremiah 33:3. God bless you.
Blood availed.